Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. As the gentleman said, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici here with my favorite dentist, Dr. Randolph Aguilera, for what, our fourth or fifth show?
I think it's our fourth.
Starting to lose track.
Yeah.
We're going to discuss today advantages of the zirconium implants over titanium. A brief review, gang, so listen up. This is going to get technical today, but we know you're going to follow. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc. And look at the pictures. That way you can really understand this. Brief review. Get to the website. You're on the pictures now. Brief review. What we concluded last week, or at least the point I'm going to make, and I think Dr. A is mostly backing, is when in doubt, save the tooth. And that means if you have to get a root canal, and that root canal can be done correctly with all the giblets and gravy of what done correctly means, consult the last show. Keep the root canal, preserve the cranial rhythm, preserve as much of your natural, God-given tooth as possible. If not, if that root canal goes south, if it hurts, if you've tried other solutions like apicoectomies, so on and so forth, and it doesn't, and you have to pull that tooth, or that tooth cracks, if there's some sort of a fracture in the root, and you got to pull that tooth, our vote unanimously is to put the zirconium implant in. Why? Well, in the tradition of teeth, let's start with picture number one. Let's go back to the tradition of teeth. There is an artist's humor, the satire. But really, that's not satire because that's the way people did it traditionally. Some guy with a pair of pliers came in and pulled it, and we laugh at that. But that's literally 150 years ago, even today. Look at picture number two. There's a guy. God bless him. Look at that. That's the number of teeth he may have taken out by himself. Think of what you know now about cranial rhythms, about preservation of tooth against decay, against how to do a crown correctly, how to do a root canal correctly. Today we're going to get into the implant correctly, because when you look at, ultimately, picture number five, that's you in the audience today. Somebody that we're talking to today has a big hole. A tooth is missing. And you're debating whether you put that bridge in. And what's that bridge? It's a false tooth that crosses. Again, you're looking at picture number five. A bridge is a false tooth that crosses right into that empty space, and it hangs off the two teeth around it. Doc, that's probably the right side, so that's nine and
that's
tooth, seven and nine?
That looks like it's tooth number six, actually.
Six, so on either side, you have tooth number?
It's six or seven. It's hard to tell from it.
See, I'm going to vote for seven. I'm going to vote for that seven. And on one side, you got eight, and on the other side, you got six.
Correct.
And in the old days, before you felt confident with implants, before we really had a ceramic implant, you would hang a bridge on that. And the problem with that was what? You had to grind down both those teeth. If they were virgin teeth, if they didn't have crowns, if that was good enamel, you had to cut that down and hang the crown. Now you had three teeth in a unit, all of which are going to block the individual flexion extension of each tooth. But that's what you had to do. You had to put on a bridge, and if you lost two teeth, you'd have to put on a longer bridge, and the longer the bridge, the more you'd lock up that relationship between the hypothalamus, pituitary, pineal, and the rest of your body. So in the old days, before Dr. Aguilera and others helped evolve the implant medicine, you put a bridge in, and you lost that cranial rhythm. It hurt. Worse yet, if that bridge was across the front of your mouth, you lost a vital dynamic relative to the locations of the teeth in the cranial rhythm. But today you'll start to think about an implant. Now let's take a look at implants. Here's the classic implant. Go to picture number 11. Picture number 11. That's a titanium implant. Dr. A and I will be arguing against the use of that. Although, yes, it's your decision, but there's some real things for you to think about. Dr. A will be explaining. There's your classic titanium implant, the screw that goes into your jawbone, that piece in the middle called the abutment that screws in to the implant, and then months later, after the bone heals, hopefully, you have somebody mold you and then put crown on, and you're left with picture number 10. This is picture number 10. That's the zirconium versus the titanium implant. And that titanium you're looking at has problems that we want to start to talk about today. First problem is the micro gap. Now I'm going to, Doc, which picture do you think we ought to start with to explain the problem with titanium, this micro gap?
Okay, let's start 14, with 15.
15?
Okay. No, with 15. The problem is this, okay, as we go back to the beginning, you have three pieces in a titanium setup, okay? You have three pieces as far as the implant is concerned, fourth if you want to count the crown. That part that gets screwed into the bone, as you see that picture there, that's literally called the implant. So that's the part that is underneath the gum and into the bone. But you can't put a crown on that because there's no post. Well, the post is referred to as the abutment. So the crown actually has to fit onto a post or the abutment. But how do you get the abutment into or secured to the implant? Well, the abutment now has to be screwed onto the implant. So where they come together, where the abutment meets the implant and the screw goes down microscopically. Now we can go to the other picture.
Let's just take a look at that screw for just 1 second. All right, go back to picture 11. You want to just point
actually,
out that.
So what this is actually...
Picture 11 now.
On picture 11, what you're looking at is the on the left side is the implant, and this is actually a healing abutment, but it gets screwed into it, okay?